A vibrating buzz intensified, coming from underneath the glass. I was shaking again. I physically went down in the light and then I was in my bed again, seared. It was the morning. I tried shouting for help but no sound came out of my throat. The air flew into my lungs, I could breathe. This is what I could remember under hypnosis. This being was Anax, and he watches over my maternal bloodline as a protector. Indeed, my grandmother had recounted to me that story when she was young, of this big bright ship coming from the sky with a buzzing low vibrating sound, blinding her with light. She wasn't terrified, but instead mesmerized with awe. She lost memory of what happened and next thing, she was lying on the ground and the ship was taking off, disappearing swiftly in the sky. She has been there always, each time there was a UFO or something weird happening and I understood that this being, Anax, was her protector too and what knows, maybe also her friend, my granny and the UFO. I was now 9 years old and with my granny and my younger sister, we were admiring the starry sky by the bedroom window. The orange UFO arrived, hovering above the roofs, so close, so big. And the story just begins. The UFO changed color and shot off, zigzagging at a tremendous speed, but it came back, that night. That's what they do, they come, in the night, and they take and they violate all your rights, they treat you like animals, like meat, like non-sentient genetic material. They have no consideration and they express no feeling. They just do their job. Two of them appeared in my bedroom that night, in total silence, smoothly, cunningly, and they seized me like night predators moving swiftly to catch a prey. They took me by the arms. Their fingers hurt and bruised my flesh. I was unable to shout. I tried to fight them but they were holding me strong and then, the whole room started spinning and I realized they were taking me through a vortex of lights and colors. I was thrown onto a cold hard floor. This new place was dark and freezing cold. I started crying, so they squeezed my forearm harder. It hurt so much, sobs dried in my throat. I could see they were not like the ones who took me when I was a baby. These ones looked different, slightly taller, with a wider skull and these big dark almond-shaped obsidian eyes. They wore glossy black suits, like vinyl. They were cold, emotionless, and they dragged me onto a narrow medical table. I noticed glowing machines around it. They tied me by the ankles, forearms and neck. Why were they doing this to me? Who were they? It was not the same ones as the first time, at all. They removed my clothes fast and mechanically. There were low purring sounds coming from the machines and suddenly, I heard the screechy sound resembling a dentist drill, approaching my head. The alien being behind me grabbed my chin to maintain my head still and straight and with the drill, inserted something in my skull. Now, they were looking between my legs. I couldn't move, my nervous system seemed paralyzed. They moved very fast, as if they were in a hurry. One of them put large straps around my wrists and when he tightened them, I could feel the sharp pain being caused by small needles incorporated in the straps, piercing through the flesh of my wrists. There were thin wires coming out of these straps, connecting to some devices on the side, and it, drawing of tools used on me in the Solipsiri ship. They acted very fast. Their moves were so weirdly mechanical. I knew, was bleeding now, because I could feel the hot liquid pouring out of my womb. They had no consideration, I was just like a piece of meat. They think we have no soul, that we are so inferior to them. They spoke to each other but it was not a language, it was more like sounds, crackling, creaking insectoid sounds. They started to talk now louder and with more agitation. Something was wrong. Another one appeared on the right, he was like them but seemed slightly different. He was bigger and more expressive, as if he was a real person and the others some sort of robots, or clones, or organic machines. This big one seemed worried and angry. Two of them left the room and this big one started urging the two who stayed to haste removing the ties. The straps left bleeding triangular marks on my wrists. They needed to be quick, quick, and suddenly. There was this big light and the whole structure trembled. I couldn't move and it was terrifying. The walls, the ground, everything trembled again, and violent vibrations shook the whole ship. They were not happy with that. What the hell was going on? The bigger gray creature, who seemed to be their supervisor, shouted orders in his weird language while sounds and lightning behind the other side of the door were getting louder. Now, I could hear shouts of human voices. Men shouting, and sounds of fights. The two small greys were confused and their chief seemed furious. He pulled from his pocket an oblong weapon that he pointed at the door. I could hear men shouting again and the door brutally exploded. I was so scared. What was going on? I couldn't move. Two tall men in space suits rushed in, wearing helmets. I couldn't see their faces because of the light's reflection and the smoke, a fight with some sort of laser guns engaged, and one of the men lifted the taller gray who seemed in charge and strangled him to death. All the other ones were shot in the head. The same man who had strangled to death the captain of the gray beings, lifted me from the table in his arms, my body not responding. I was feeling cold, so cold. I couldn't see their faces due to the reflections on the glass of their helmets. There were flashes of light, again, coming from the hole in the wall left by the blast of the explosion. The men rushed with me through it, moving in a hurry. All I could see was the spacesuit of my rescuer and the cold plastic feel of it. There was a buzzing, blinding blue light and then we were rushing into an airlock. It was very strange because I could see the stars around us. But we were inside some sort of corridor. It seemed like if we were suddenly in a different ship. They rushed into a room bathed with bright light and laid me down on a table that lifted from the floor. It was warm in here. I was feeling safe. There was a woman in that room. She didn't wear a spacesuit and she was beautiful, tall with straight blonde hair and vibrant, huge green eyes. She wore a skin-tight blue suit, slightly glistening in the artificial light, and her body was slim and harmonious. She was looking at me with concern and I could feel tension emanating from her. After they laid me on this bench, the men removed their helmets but I still couldn't see their faces because they were out of my vision. Nonetheless, I had time to notice they were both blonde like her, tall and athletic. The woman rapidly cleaned the blood off my tiny body. I let her proceed while releasing my fear, letting go of all tensions and stress. The man who saved my life removed his space suit jacket and covered me with it. It felt so warm. He had wavy hair, and the other one long straight hair. I felt one of the men's hand pressing my leg and saying few words in a strange language. I was now in good hands. I knew it. These people had rescued me. There was agitation in the room. The woman was feeling nervous and the sense of emergency was filling the air stressfully. The gracious woman leaned over me and gently grabbed my face between her hands. She spoke to me in a strange and harmonious language which I couldn't understand, but it seemed, I could feel it, that she tried to calm me down. The two men had stepped back and she laid her hands on my shoulders. Her energy felt warm and soothing, and poured inside of my tiny body like a delightful waterfall of calm mess. This was my first contact with Myra. I would get to know her name later, the mysterious and mesmerizing alien lady who had looked after me all my life besides Thoran. Their expressions were, though, concerned and grave, and I could see shadows of worry on the lady's pristine face. Her eyes were truly fascinating. They had this crystalline emerald spark. She was smaller than the two other men and had high and prominent cheekbones, on a triangular face with a narrow chin. It seemed to me that she was from a different race than the two other ones, as her face structure was dissimilar to her companions. She also obviously was of a smaller species. I would also learn later that, I was right to think so, these two handsome men were from the Pleiades and she was from the Sirius B system. All three of them, despite the resemblance to human beings, had features which betrayed their non-terrestrial origin. Their eyes were wider proportionally than ours and with a metallic luminosity to them. They had high cheekbones and their bodies looked very fit. I couldn't see where the men were gone to, but I could hear and sense them in the room. Still, my body wasn't responding to my will. I guessed the product I had been injected with needed to dissolve. I fell asleep. Thanks to the safer process of quantum hypnosis, I could see my body from above and I noticed that I cried so much, my hair was wet. The alien woman was busy behind me searching in a box while the two men watched from a distance. I had this impression she was about to do something that would save my life. She approached the back of my skull, examined the wound with a little instrument that looked like a torchlight and then said something to her companions. As a spectator, I could see now by transparency what the greys had put in my head. It was a sort of small green glowing object shaped like bean. That was the tracker implant. I noticed the woman's annoyed expression mixed with anger, not liking at all what she was seeing. I could sense stress now, coming out of her body. She grabbed another instrument composed of a long double needle, that started buzzing and vibrating. Hearing this noise, my head made my heart pound in my chest, but I knew this wouldn't hurt me, that I was here rescued and had nothing to fear. Although, after what I had just gone through in the Grey's ship, it was a little bit distressing. As she touched the green glowing bean, my whole body shook in spasms and she stopped instantly, triggering something in my brain. It's like if she tried removing it and failed. My rescuer approached and addressed the woman with authority, urging her in their strange language to do something to which she seemed reluctant. I couldn't understand him, but as he stood closer to me, I could finally have a closer and clearer vision of my savior. He had these beautiful blonde curls waving upon his shoulders. Suddenly, his wide slanted eyes with this strange, clear metallic blue, met mine. At this very moment, all my being felt magnetized as with a rolling wave of energy. It was like looking into the eyes of an angel. He seemed very worried and addressed the woman harshly, pressing her to operate this mysterious task quickly. Then, they started arguing. She insisted not agreeing with what he asked her to do, and the tension was growing. Their language sounded melodious, in between Scandinavian and Gaelic. The alien lady let her shoulders drop and eventually consented to obey. She then took another instrument to work on my head, under the scrutinizing surveillance of her companion who seemed in command of the ship. She stuck a needle into the implant, which started changing color, from green to dark red. She then applied a small disc on it and observed it for a few seconds, then threw an inquisitive look at the man, as if she was saying to him, "Are you happy, Mo?" It seemed they had a telepathic exchange. She then removed everything from my head and put the instruments away on a small side table behind her. It seemed that what he asked her to do was illegal or even dangerous. He then came to me and put a hand on my head, gently, and sighed. I don't know how, but I could feel that in his mind, he was expressing some sort of hope that what they had done would work. The other guy with long blonde hair spoke to them from one of the two command seats, and my rescuer joined him, taking place beside him. I think they had to move on now, it was time to go. I slept for a while to recover from all this, and when I woke up, by the big front window of the ship I saw the stars, and the orb of the earth rising from below. They were taking me back home. The ship descended into the atmosphere, under the clouds, and I could see suddenly the turquoise horizon of a setting sun above the sea, and a town I recognized, mine. My rescuer, the young man with wavy blonde hair who seemed the captain of that ship, turned to look at me with a tired smile. He stood up and came sitting beside me on a corner couch, where I had been laid to rest. He put a hand upon my head and I looked at him, mesmerized. It was like a fresh wind blowing through my mind as he addressed me directly by telepathy. I heard his voice in my head, soft and gentle, speaking my language with a slight foreign accent. "Everything will be fine, Mo, I rescued you. They will try taking you again, but we'll stop them, don't worry." "Why?" "They put something in you they want back. We couldn't take it out, so you'll have to kill it. We'll tell you how." "Who are they?" "Oh, they're not good. Their name is Solipsy Rat. They come from another plane of existence and they travel into dimensionally. We watch them, because it is illegal what they do. They take humans from your planet mainly for genetic harvest. Why? Because they are playing with genetics. They create a species of hybrids. And there are other ones, and also other matters a little girl shouldn't hear. The tracker they put in your head, we couldn't remove it without killing you, so tasked Mara to deactivate it and retune it to our frequency, so the solipsy ray I cannot track you anymore. By this mean, we will be able to watch over you and protect you. I will now erase these memories and bring you back home. Will I forget you? You and I have a bond by the heart that you will understand one day. Your mind will forget, but your heart will remember. This young man's name was Thoran. We kept contact through the years and he honored his word. He always watched over me. I have had several other encounters with these wonderful people, beaming me aboard that ship regularly, and they have taught me a lot of knowledge and wonders. I know this ship like a second home. They have showed me maps of the galaxy, and explained to me how to pilot the ship, and even let me sit in the command chair. This bond of the heart I had with Thoran, I finally comprehended its nature. At the time of the rescue, what could a little girl understand to these things? But this, well, is another story. Quantum hypnosis helped me not only to recover the hidden elements of my experience, but also to connect directly with them. By reactivating the memory and clearing up the trauma, the implant's frequency was unlocked. I now have daily telepathic contacts with Thoran, Mira, and even in some rare occasions Anax. There are good people out there, and we are not alone. Next headline is The Bond of the Heart. One day, in my early 20s as I was still studying in Paris, I met at a party some friend's friend who happened to be a renowned medium psychic. I awkwardly found myself on my own in the kitchen with him, removing the dishes from the table. He turned towards me with a scrutinizing look and the air in the room became thinner and electric, as my heart started to pound. Laying against the sink, this very tall man with perfect symmetrical features and mesmerizing eyes in which could see the cosmos, smiled at me with irony, able to read my soul like an open book. His skin was pale and his hair pure white. He seemed ageless. "Your brother is looking after you from up there," he said to me very mysteriously, indicating the ceiling with a move of the head. "My brother?" "I don't have any brother," I replied. "Yes," he continued, "he's not your biological brother but your soul brother, since longer than this life. Him and our kind will always look after you. We are not alone. Extraterrestrial beings live among us since the dawn of times and they have been assisting us in our evolution, fighting for us and keeping at bay invasive species from outer space. There is a benevolent alliance above our heads, named the Galactic Federation of Worlds, which is the union of hundreds of thousands of civilizations from this galaxy. They protect the rights of all life, and Thoran is a member of it as a fleet commander, assigned to one of their stations on orbit of Earth. I have now been many times on board, be it by astral travel session. I have telepathic exchanges with Thoran through the implant in my head or the beautiful bond of the heart that we have. The communications, which were rare in the past and privileged as I thought I was receiving messages of guidance from an angel or either a spiritual guide, revealed to be of another kind as truth blasted brightly to me. I could never have children and after going through hypnosis I could understand why. The gray aliens named Solipsy Ray I had messed up with my womb when I was 9. But what I didn't realize was that they had implanted at the time, something else than a tracker in my head. Following my first quantum hypnosis session, Thoran started retrieving memories for me daily and an unfortunate event that happened in my life when I was 30 years old took a whole new meaning, on different levels. At the time, I was working as an archaeologist for the French mission in Luxor, Egypt. A strange phenomenon occurred 4 months after I moved into this place very far away from everything, on the bank of the Nile River. Suddenly, far from anything related to my life, my past and my traumas, something unlocked in my subconscious which activated a process, 20 years later after fertilization. This wasn't related to some sort of hybrid grays fabrication, but was part of an even worse agenda. A growth quickly developed in my womb, tensing the skin of my belly. It grew to the equivalent size of a mango. I was sent home in emergency, by plane, to France, where I was hospitalized in a private clinic. I found out later that this thing in me was a reptilian matrix ready to carry eggs, which had never been fertilized because the process had been interrupted. I had been carrying this thing, two pods, which had remained dormant all these years as two empty matrices. For some reason, maybe due to a change of environment and the magical energies of Karnak, the Egyptian temple I was working in, my body decided to finally get rid of it. The verdict was clear: emergency surgery, as the doctors feared a cancerogenic tumor. It was the only way they could explain it. I was feeling fine, until I was laid down on the rolling bed and prepared for surgery. The nurses left me on a mobile bed, waiting for a few minutes while the surgery room was prepared, and this was when all went wrong. Suddenly, I felt dizzy with vertigo as my subconscious recalled traumatic events. For at that time, if my mind didn't remember, my body did. A brutal spasm hit me and I started shaking hard and tears burst off my eyes. When the anesthesiologist came to take me to the surgery room, he got worried when he realized that I was in such a state of distress. Then, I saw his eyes focusing in one of the opening of my medical gown. What was he looking at with this horrified expression? Was this real? What the hell was happening to me? Something was obviously wrong. I was rushed into surgery, and while I was laid down onto the operation table, the sight of the annular neon light above recalled ancient terrors. Surgical instruments, me lying there. They were about to inject the anesthesia into the catheter when my body reacted and I started to have stronger spasms that would lift my lower back from the table. At that stage, I had lost all control of my body. Something was fighting inside of me. Something that wasn't okay to be removed. Catheter's flexible tube to the anesthetic solution. I watched the surgeon lifting my gown. And there. I saw it. The skin of my whole abdomen was wrinkled in a pattern of reddish reptiloid scales. I fainted into oblivion. Come back to consciousness shaking with cold, feeling frozen, and this sensation didn't bring back good memories. The anesthesiologist waited by my side until I woke up, to tell me he had asked to stay through the whole procedure because he wanted to see what would come out. I feebly grabbed his hand. What was it? I asked. It was an ovoid pouch filled with a yellow liquid. It was so big. Can I see it? They kept it for examination, but I'll ask. A few hours later, the surgeon visited my hospital room to give me his verbal report. The left side of your womb was removed because the tumor destroyed it. There was a second one as well, that we couldn't remove without taking off everything. You are too young to have a hysterectomy, so we needed your permission first. If you wish this done, you need now to wait for at least 2 months, which also allows you time to consider this severe decision. If you decide to keep the second tumor, it is a chance you are willing to take. It can remain dormant. The familiar sensations, the familiar presences, brought tears of relief to my eyes. Mitre, Valnek, Thoran, seeing them again was unexpected and wonderful. Myra pointed at my abdomen a device emitting a ray of light that burnt inside, and she apologized with sweet words and a caring smile, squeezing my hand with affection. Myra was telling me that she was quickening the healing process and making sure the other pod would remain deactivated. She couldn't remove it just after my surgery, but she said she would guide me to get it done on Earth very safely. What surprised me most was her apologetic expression. I sat back when she completed her procedure, listening to her telling me about my abduction by the Solipsi Rei at the age of 9, when I was inseminated with a double matrix ready to receive reptilian fertilized eggs. At that time, they didn't see it, as their attention was entirely focused upon urgently deactivating my implant, not to be tracked by their enemies and face bigger problems. I was in shock, understanding more the reason of the scales on my skin. While Myra was comforting me, Thoran approached and sat beside me on the edge of the couch. He seemed upset and angry because of the suffering and distress I had gone through. He wrapped an arm around my shoulders to bring me against him, and all my tensions suddenly released. I finally found peace. "I am so sorry we couldn't anticipate this," he whispered in my ear. He gently lifted my chin with his fingers and kissed me, then he exchanged a worried look with Myra. She said to him very gravely, "You should tell her Thoran brought me to another room in the ship." It was thresting area. No window, but an annular neon-like light on the ceiling. We sat down together on a couch and, leaning against his chest, I listened to him talking. The ship isn't big, so it was a narrow room with two rows of double bunk beds and shelved niches in the walls containing white metallic boxes and neatly folded uniforms, that were very recognizable by their shimmering fabric. "You will need to be very brave now, because we are leaving soon to respond to a duty call. There is a war going on very far from here, and we may not be back before at least 4 years. Probably much longer, and hopefully, we will be back." I broke in tears. In these times of hardship, when I had barely recovered from a disturbing surgery and just learnt the horrific truth about it, Thoran was announcing that they were leaving. But before this, he gave me a gift by revealing to me something absolutely breathtaking. "Equals, do you know why I am watching over you since you are a child? It is because we knew each other from before you chose this incarnation, in order to help humans on Earth. I am waiting for your mission to complete, and once you will leave this avatar and recover your body kept in stasis on Era, we'll be together again." "Where is Era?" "In the Pleiades." "So this is why I was always drawn to the Pleiades, why it always felt like home. I may not come back from this mission, Elena, but I will be waiting for you in a way or the other, for we are eternal beings, traveling through temporary avatars. One day, we will be together for good. You just need now to trust in yourself, and reconnect with who you truly are. You have a life to live, love to give, knowledge to gain. Unfortunately, for all these reasons, I will have to remove the memory of this moment. Your mind will forget, but your heart will remember." All I remember afterwards was falling asleep in his arms and waking up back in my room in Egypt. Just after they left, things took a new turn in my life. Shortly after I was back in Luxor, a French colleague started to chat with me, and a year later, I stopped resisting and consented to start a relationship with him. He would become my future ex-husband. Although my heart always overflew with abundant love to give, I was awkwardly unable to feel passion for anyone in my life, and if I had known why, I would have certainly never gotten into any relationship, a thing that would have been wrong. I needed to live and to love, as Thoran had said very wisely. I could totally understand why this part of the truth needed to remain hidden from me, and it was now that, happy in a stable long-term relationship, I can truly accept with maturity the beautiful truth. I would have never been able to cope with this knowledge before my awakening. When they finally came back in 2018, I had lived and I had loved, indeed, and I had gained the necessary knowledge and wisdom after years of studies certifying me as a druid and a shaman. I was now ready for my own shift of consciousness and, more than anything, to embrace my mission. I now know who truly am, and who Thoran truly is, my soul brother bonded by heart and soul, working in synchronicity together between above and below to help humanity, as two twin flames of adamantine light. Every truth always comes when you are ready for it, in the right time. Part 2 is headline, Alien Races, and must be seen by the book, which have a lot or drawings of these races. Just taking a little introduction to this next part of the book further. 2 weeks after I underwent hypnosis, I found one morning a strange manila A4 envelope stuck in my letterbox. It was labeled Dear Mail USA and had no stamp and no writing on it, no name, no address, nothing. Weird. There was no way this came by regular post, and the postman confirmed it didn't. Someone put it there and I never found out who to this day. I guess the mystery will remain. Inside was a spiral-bounded document which froze me with shock, for on the front cover were photos of UFOs and aliens.